You can start.
Thanks. This is court number 17-00271, Second Nature Designs Limited versus the United States. The Honorable Gary S. Katzman presiding. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiff?
Good morning, Your Honor. John Peterson and Patrick Klein for the plaintiff.
Morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Brandon Kennedy for the Department of Justice. Also, Hardeep Josan for the Department of Justice. And also, Ms. Sasha Kreptikova for CBP.
Good morning. Counsel, thank you very much for joining us this morning in this conference on the defendant's motion to compel the plaintiff to supplement its responses to defendant's interrogatories and requests for production directed to the plaintiff. The court has reviewed the filings submitted by the parties and thought that a meeting this morning would be a good opportunity to set forth where we are in the matter and whether there have been perhaps subsequent communications between the parties since the filings. It seems from the filings that the parties actually have been in touch during these various discovery matters. And why don't we begin with the government. Mr. Kennedy, are you speaking for the government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
The parties have been in communication. We most recently spoke last week, and I just wanted to give a brief overview of the case and where the parties stand as of last week. This case encompasses over 800 styles, 3,000 articles, and possibly a dozen separate classification headings or so, even though there are only two headings in plaintiff's complaint. Last week, the parties discussed a number of issues, and we came to some agreement, which should narrow the issues for today's conference with the court. To begin is that defendant had not received from plaintiff a full and accurate list and description of each and every style of the subject merchandise that is actually contested in this litigation. The most recent spreadsheet that defendant received from plaintiff purporting to list each and every style that is at issue in the litigation was received on August 28th of 2020. However, we've consulted with plaintiff after reviewing the spreadsheet and the number of samples over the past month and a half or so, and we noticed a number of inaccuracies. We most recently finished reviewing the entirety of that spreadsheet, which included, as we said, about 3,000 different styles. And so last week we had a conference with plaintiff and we came to some agreement. First, plaintiff agreed to abandon any items that were not listed on the latest spreadsheet from August 28th of 2020. Secondly, we notified plaintiffs that there were some issues with there were typos and entries that had been entered incorrectly in the summons, and plaintiff agreed to correct those entries in the summons. And lastly, we discussed with plaintiffs, and then on Friday, we sent plaintiff a list of all of the inconsistencies or inaccuracies or lack of information regarding approximately 27 different styles from plaintiff's latest spreadsheet that required either more information or needed to be rectified because there were some inconsistencies. For example, there was a style that was enlisted for the first time with cross references to information and one of the three prior spreadsheets, but then that information wasn't available. So we agreed to send plaintiff on Friday that list, and plaintiff agreed that 2 weeks from this past Friday, which would be October 30th, plaintiff would provide us with corrections to those 27 styles that were missing information or had inconsistent information. So today, we are asking to memorialize these agreements by the court, and also we ask the court that once plaintiff provides that full and accurate spreadsheet, hopefully in two weeks, October 30th, as we agreed, then plaintiff would then be able to finish accurately and completely responding to the remainder interrogatory number four, as well as the remaining RFPs, because all of those RFPs and remaining ROGs use the same language of each and every style that is at issue in the litigation. Therefore, that's the reason we needed interrogatory number three, which was the spreadsheet listing each and every item that is at issue in the litigation, to be complete in order for plaintiffs to be able to fully and accurately respond to the remaining interrogatories and RFPs.
And RFPs stands for request for production.
Request for production. Right. Yes, Your Honor. My apologies.
So, in sum, Mr. Kennedy, are you suggesting that the parties have come to agreements such that the motion to compel is no longer before the court?
Not exactly, Your Honor. The motion to compel, we argue, is still before the court, and it was the basis for our productive discussions in the last few days. We just wanted to bring the court up to date on where the parties' agreement stood, and ultimately, we are still seeking that 2 weeks from today, plaintiff respond to the remaining interrogatories and RFPs that we detailed in our motion to compel. And we asked that, and as we discussed with plaintiff, there were a number of items for which plaintiff said they may not have the information for a variety of reasons, because these items are not made anymore, or they can't locate the relevant information, or for whatever reason. But we agreed with plaintiff that if plaintiff could not provide such information for a particular item, that plaintiff would let us know, you know, we can't provide that information, and here's the reason why we cannot. And that way we have a full response to what are the items that are at issue in this litigation, which are obviously critical for both defendant and the court to know, so that we can proceed with the litigation and the court can be able to classify the items that are actually contested in the litigation correctly.
So do you have a proposal in terms of the scheduling proposal? In other words, should there be some sort of further filing or joint filing by the parties, which would also identify the issues or the matters which remain after the agreement, as you indicated in your presentation?
Yes, Your Honor. We would ask that the court issue an order memorializing these points that I've listed and that plaintiff has agreed to, and also order that within 14 days from today, purportedly plaintiff will have already provided us on October 30th the full and final list with all the information that plaintiff has available, correcting inconsistencies. And based on that information, plaintiff should be able to respond to the remaining interrogatories and request for production. And we ask that the court issue an order that 2 weeks from today, plaintiff respond to the remaining interrogatories and request for production with fully and accurately.
Now, will you be submitting to the court a proposed revised order?
Yes, I could do that, Your Honor, with the points that the plaintiff and the defendant discussed last week, and the agreement on those points. We can submit a proposed revised order noting those.
I mean, to the extent that the order or the request is not opposed, that would also be helpful. I'll ask Mr. Peterson about, you know, obviously his view of things. So, Ms. Kennedy, is there anything you want to say at this point? I'll probably be getting back to you after I hear from Mr. Peterson.
Yes, Your Honor, just that I think it would be a good idea for the parties to submit a joint proposed order, as Your Honor was alluding to.
Thank you, Ms. Kennedy. Mr. Peterson?
Thank you, Your Honor. There's a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, as Mr. Kennedy said, there are only two tariff provisions involved in this case. All of this very burdensome and very granular discovery that the government's been engaging in has nothing to do with plaintiff's case. In fact, what they're doing is they're re-examining the classification that the government used in liquidation and that we challenged. Okay, number one, that's important to point out. Number two, this case is more than 3 years old. The government has not interposed any counterclaim or claim for different classification on any of these items. And I would suggest it is very late in the day, if not too late, for the government to do that. Number three, obviously, if this is a classification case, Your Honor has a Jarvis-Clark obligation to make the correct determination, even if Customs didn't do it in liquidation. That's a judicial responsibility. That's not a responsibility of the Department of Justice. So you're certainly free, Your Honor, to determine what information you want to hear in order to help you with your Jarvis-Clark obligation. But that's not a discovery obligation of the plaintiff, really, in this case. We have cooperated with discovery in this case, and I think our motion bears that out. We have provided them with boxes upon boxes of samples, spreadsheets chronicling thousands of products and individual components of those products. And my colleague, Mr. Klein, can speak to it, but as I believe, as of the last conference, there's something like 29, there are about 29 line items that need clarification, and that clarification is going to be provided. So while we have cooperated in discovery up to this point, and we'll cooperate in providing those other 29 items, Your Honor, I believe that once those items are submitted, this motion should be withdrawn. And I would object very strenuously to any order from the court. Well, let me strike the word strenuously. You know, I believe the court should not enter an order on this motion. It would be perceived as, you know, a discovery sanction against the plaintiff, a failure to cooperate in discovery. And that certainly is not the case. So my proposal would be to have the parties do a status report to the court after October 30th, when the final responses are due, and then let the government make a decision if it wants to withdraw the pending motion. And that's our position. And if you need more detail on the few items remaining open, Mr. Klein can provide that for you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I was wondering if you could also give the court sort of a description of the products involved. We've read the papers, of course, and the complaints. You wouldn't have to have a couple samples at your desk, or maybe Mr. Klein.
If you give me a minute to step away, we do have some samples in our office. I could grab and show you on video.
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, to answer your question, what these products are dried botanicals. They're basically dried parts of plants, and they're used for decorative purposes around the home. And so what they are, they're pieces of plants. You know, you see them in home decoration stores. And what our client does to them, they are either dried or bleached. And in addition to it, they might be dyed or they might have some glitter put on them. The question is, we've classified them under a tariff provision providing for parts of plants dried or bleached. The government contends that when we paint them or put dye on them or put glitter on them, they cease to be dried or bleached plant parts and become other plant parts at a different classification and a higher rate of duty. And the position of the plaintiff is that regardless of whether they're colored or glittered, they're still dried or bleached plant parts. That's what it is. Now, you know, some of the questions coming through discovery are, you know, for example, one of these things features leaves bent to look like a tiny pumpkin on the end of the stick. And the government saying, oh, should that be classified as artificial foliage? Well, again, that was never a classification by Customs in this case. Customs classified all of these under the provision for other parts of plants. And we believe they're all classified under the provision for dried or bleached plants. And Pat, do you have some samples you could show the court?
All right. And actually, before you show us the samples, So getting back to Ms. Peterson, your acknowledgement that the court has an independent obligation to determine the correct classification. So with respect to the example that you just gave of the contention that a particular product might, to the government, maybe it's artificial foliage. Is it your position that kind of information is not subject to discovery?
I don't want to say that it's not subject to discovery, but it's not embraced by any of the claims in the pleadings on record before the court. It is, in a sense, extraneous to the claims as framed by the pleadings.
How does it relate to our obligation to the court's obligation to come up with the correct classification? In other words, even if not specifically, the classification itself is not specifically identified in the complaint. Does the court not have an obligation to, as you say, reach the correct classification, even if not specifically identified in the complaint?
Your Honor, the court does have that obligation. To my knowledge, there's no case law bearing on the question of the role discovery plays in the court's exercise of that obligation. I mean, certainly the court could, on its own initiative, you know, after hearing all the evidence by the parties, say, you know, gee, I don't agree with either of you, and I'm under Jarvis Clark going to find that it's classified in a different provision. That's certainly the court's obligation. Again, I don't know that necessarily discovery is material to that if the other classifications aren't framed in a pleading. But the point is, we've cooperated in all this discovery. We've turned over enormous amounts of information. What we thought is a very simple case with one issue, you know, so far still is a very simple case with one issue. But it appears the government may be wanting to make Jarvis Clark suggestions to the court. But, I don't think there'd be a reason why we couldn't get that main issue resolved. But all of this, the point is, all of the discovery the government is asking of us is not questioning our case or our claim. They're questioning their own decision in liquidating the entries. So that, you know, I think that's important. And I think it would bear on the proportionality. Now, we're not asking to be spared from any of their discovery responses. As Mr. Kennedy recited, we've agreed to provide what we've agreed to provide by the 30th. You know, I think that the proper way to handle this, because there has been a high degree of cooperation, there's been constant dialogue between the parties in this case, is let's get to the 30th and then let's have a status and see if the government wants to withdraw its motion at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I think, Mr. Klein, you were going to show us some examples.
Yes, Your Honor. I have here, if you can see it well, it's pine cones. These are dried pine cones on a stick. The sticker has a SKU code and says large pine cones. And there's three of them in here. These are dried pine cones on the stick. And I have here one that is dried, and then they are glittered and painted gold. And it's dried or bleached pine cones with the paint and glitter on it. There's three of them in that too. And just the final one I have is three pine cones with some glitter on it to make it look as if it would snow it on. And those are the samples I have with me right now. The three of them.
Thank you. Are the products, are they all pine cones or are there different variations?
No, there are different variations amongst a lot of different plants and combinations to make what the client calls various bouquets. And some, you know, the client generally fits their products into three categories. One would be a bowl filler. It's something that you pour out into a bowl to be a decoration. And then they have dried plants like that. And then they use in some various, what the client calls bouquets, different dried plants together with different assortments to make what they would call a bouquet. So that's the, you know, there's a lot of different scope and variation amongst the products with which plants are involved and stuff. Those are the three general categories that the client would say their products fall into.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor.
Thank you. So, Mr. Kennedy, you know, Mr. Peterson is suggesting that the parties submit a status update on October 30th or October 31st, and at that time, it may be that the government is dissatisfied and that the motion to compel can be
Your Honor, if I may just go back to some points that Mr. Peterson made that I need to clarify. And I also have a sample to show the court. First and foremost, we just need to know what each and every style is, what is it made of, and how was it made. That's clearly critical in order to classify any product, but particularly one like in this case where there are hundreds or dozens of different styles. For example, we're only asking for discovery that's necessary to figure out what each style at issue is. Some of the styles we've already discovered are not dyed or otherwise processed beyond being dried or bleached. So we really need to know what each item is and how was it made. And there are very significant inconsistencies. So for example, Mr. Klein showed you a pine cone, which is clearly a part of a plant. However, also in discovery, we have products that don't seem to fall, that don't seem to depict any dried flowers or other botanical matter. For example, here we have what looks to be this gold ball, and it is described by plaintiff in plaintiff's latest spreadsheet from August 28th as ornament ball, eight centimeters, shiny gold. But then there is a product description that clearly does not match what we're looking at, a gold ball. It says straight bunches. These are bunches that consist of one variety of dried flowers in the bunch. This plant may be offered natural, bleached, or dyed. We don't have enough information to know what this is. It looks like a gold ball. It doesn't look like a dried flower, or it doesn't look like any part of a plant. And if it's not a part of a plant or doesn't have any dried flowers, then it would be in a totally separate classification. We're not even talking about the two subheadings that are in plaintiff's complaint. We're talking about a completely separate classification. And the government is at a disadvantage because we don't even know what it is. We don't even know what it's made of. So how could the government ever be expected, if we had any counterclaims, to submit these counterclaims when we don't have enough information to know what it even is? And plaintiff's information is clearly inconsistent. It doesn't fall under either category of subheading that plaintiff submitted in its complaint. It's something else entirely. So this is why the government needs to know, because we have discovered through discovery, not before discovery, not at the time that the entries came in, but during discovery, that some of the products that plaintiff claimed were under these two categories are actually not even in these two categories in the complaint. They're something else entirely. And we still don't know what that category may be, because we don't know what this ball is made of, and we have an inconsistent description of this ball. And this was one of the items, one of the 29 items that we emailed plaintiffs last week. This needs to be corrected because the information is clearly inconsistent, and we can't, the defendant can't classify this item, but neither would the court be able to do that. And we also wanted to note that some of the products that are at issue in this litigation apparently are also other types of items, such as basket work or wreaths or bouquets of flowers, which fall under a separate classification heading. So it is correct, Your Honor, that the court has an independent duty to classify each item correctly, but also defendant has a right to know what plaintiff is litigating, what each item is, and what is it made of? How was it made? Because otherwise, how can defendant or the court ever seek to classify these items? So these are the reasons why we submitted a motion to compel, because as plaintiff noted, it's been 3 years since this case began. It's been more than 2 years since defendant submitted its interrogatories and request for production to plaintiff in September of 2018. And all we've wanted to know from the beginning is what is each and every style that is at issue in this litigation, because we had some spreadsheets that had items listed on the spreadsheet that weren't in the entries. And then we had entries and items in the entries that weren't in the spreadsheet. So we're now at spreadsheet number 4 after more than 2 years of discovery. And we still have inconsistencies, and we still have a lack of information. So this basic question is, what is being litigated? What is the item, the particular style? Because there are many separate types of styles. Here we have a pumpkin on a stick. That's clearly very different from a gold ball, which doesn't appear to be made of any foliage or branch or dried flower. And these are the reasons that the defendant had filed the motion to compel, because every time that plaintiff submitted a spreadsheet, we would find errors and errors and errors. So if plaintiff doesn't even know what it's litigating, how could the defendant or the court ever answer that question? For these reasons, we believe the motion to compel is not moot, and we believe that the court should enter an order, because it's clear that we've been patient, we've tried to work with plaintiff, but there was, during the summer, a time when, as our motion details, a plaintiff stopped replying, and the defendant really wanted to avoid, I think we're at the sixth amended scheduling order at this point. We need to move this case forward. We're trying to move this case forward, and defendant is expending significant government resources and going back each and every time to look at the spreadsheet and see, well, do they mean this? Do they mean that? It's just not clear. We don't have the information. And that's why we need plaintiff once and for all to tell us what is being litigated, what is the style, and what how was it made, so that we can seek to classify these items. And once we finish with discovery, at that point, as we've already noted, there are items that weren't described as such in the entries and protests. And we've discovered since then that, you know, there's 3,000 items. Of course, the government doesn't look at every single one, especially when they're coming into the country. We don't have the resources to open each and every box. We rely on plaintiffs to tell us in their entry papers what these products are. And we select a sample, a random sample, and open these and inspect them. But we can't be expected to open each and every one. And now we've discovered that there are so many different types of styles that even plaintiff is making mistakes in representing as to what each style is. So were there to be any counterclaims, it would not be incumbent upon defendant to submit such counterclaims until the time when we had all the information and we had our due diligence. And we're still not there, Your Honor. So for all of these reasons, we ask that the court keep the motion to compel, and at a minimum, issue an order that the latest spreadsheet is final and all the styles that are not on the spreadsheet are deemed abandoned. And to this, plaintiff did agree last week, but we also need information as to what other the items that are on the spreadsheet, the information that is inconsistent. We need that rectified. And if they don't have the information, they need to say, we don't have the information, so that we can move beyond discovery and keep this as and make this just a legal issue, because right now we still have genuine issues of material facts.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Peterson, do you want to further reply?
Yes, Your Honor. The plaintiff knows exactly what we're litigating. We're litigating the fact that the government classified each and every one of the products in this case under a provision for dried plant materials. That is what we're litigating. That is what we framed in the complaint. And it's the only claim we could raise in the complaint, because that is what the government did. Now, if Mr. Kennedy is suggesting that his client did shoddy work in classification, that's not on us. And again, we're cooperating to the extent that he may believe his client did a shoddy job in classifying and want to aid the court in a Jarvis Clark inquiry. But I think that's very important to note. And I also want to note, this is not a situation where the government passively classified everything. This case grows out of a months-long NAFTA verification of our client, when customs officials at the Port of Buffalo looked at all these products, looked in a fair amount of detail, and then came up with their classification. So, I mean, our case is directed at what the government did. If the government now is having second thoughts about what they did, that's fine. But that's not something that becomes, you know, a discovery burden to be placed at our feet and to which we are to be compelled. When we're talking about 29 open items, we're talking about that number out of something like 2,900. Pat would have the exact number, but there's thousands of line items on these sheets. But we're at the finish line. And, you know, and it's for things like gold balls. This client has shown a lot of ingenuity. It's amazing the stuff they can make out of dried plant parts. Things that don't look like plants at all. And we'll get that information that he's looking for. But I don't see the need for, you know, a belligerent motion to compel, when what the government's really doing is, instead of moving this case along on the classification that they made and they upheld after a protest, you know, they've decided that they're going to use this case as a chance to look inward and to look at their own work. Again, we're cooperating in this. We'll continue to do that. And we think that in light of that fact, the appropriate step is for the court to set this down for a status again after the October 30th deadline. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. The the court will take this matter under advisement. I have to say that I think that that insofar as there have been, as articulated, conversations between the government and the plaintiff, that what might what looks like will make the most sense is to see where things stand as of after October 30th. So I'm not going to actually at this point rule on the motion to compel. I will see where things stand after October 30th. What the court is inclined to do is to direct that the parties submit a further status report on October 31st. Let me just look at the calendar here. That's a Saturday. 30th is a Friday. So what I will direct, and as I say, my thought initially had been to take this under advisement, but I also realized that this matter has been occurring over more than 3 years, and I understand that both parties want a resolution of the discovery matter. So I would ask the parties no later than, and tell me if this is reasonable, no later than Monday, November 2nd, to provide the court with a joint status report. And if there are any matters that are still outstanding, those should be identified. And to the extent that the government believes that a motion to compel is appropriate with respect to those matters, the court will entertain that. Is November 2nd, is that Mr. Peterson, Mr. Kennedy, is that a reasonable date?
That's good for plaintiff, Your Honor.
Ms. Kennedy?
That works for the defendant, Your Honor.
Right. So the motion to compel is still sort of out there. I haven't ruled on it. We'll see where we are on November 2nd. And, it seems that the parties have been in communication, and I would imagine they will continue to be in communication. The court will see where we stand after receiving the joint status report on November 2nd, and may schedule a further conference after November 2nd, or perhaps that will not be necessary. That certainly would be ideal, that would not be necessary, but we are here, of course, to and open for the deliberation with the parties. So Mr. Peterson, Mr. Kennedy, is there anything more that you'd like to raise at this point? Mr. Kennedy?
Not for plaintiff, Your Honor.
Ms. Kennedy?
Your Honor, the defendant would just ask if, since the parties do have agreement on the three points that I mentioned earlier, and Mr. Peterson did not dispute any, they were correcting the entries providing information that's corrected by October 30th and agreement to abandon all styles that are not listed on the August 28th spreadsheet. The parties already have agreement on those three issues. So would it be possible for the court to, for today, issue an order memorializing those three issues, and then the parties can have discussions over the next 2 weeks and submit that joint status report as to the outstanding issues or the issues that the parties have disagreement on?
I mean, the alternative is just to memorialize in the joint status report. You know, the parties, you know, have agreed as to the, you know, resolution of certain issues. In other words, why can't that wait till November, the joint status report provided on November 2nd? Mr. Kennedy?
Yes, Your Honor. We were just trying to narrow down the issues and at least for today have an order as to what is not at issue anymore, and then focus the joint status report on the other outstanding issues and not leave those, the ones that there is agreement on, not leave those pending.
Right. Now maybe that an order is not required. Maybe there would be a consent statement identifying, you know, the issues that are no longer subject to the court's consideration. In other words, I don't know that an order is required. Mr. Peterson?
Yeah, Your Honor, we think we're okay with the status report. I mean, it's a case about dried flowers. It's not the end of the world. And it's important to our client. It's not the largest case. I think we're trying to do things on a consensual basis. So I think the status report is the way to go.
And are you in disagreement with what Mr. Kennedy has just said?
I'm not the one involved in the granular discovery, but I do believe made that agreement that we're back to the client trying to get confirmation or clarification on the remaining 29 items. And we have agreed if we don't get any clarification, we'll drop those items. I mean, but they're very tiny things in a, you know, in a larger sea here. So yeah, I don't disagree with what he said.
Well, so that agreement can be memorialized in the November 2nd joint status report.
I think so. I don't think it requires an order of the court. The parties were already working together.
All right. Okay. So we'll go that route. Thank you, Ms. Kennedy, for your thoughts, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you.
Joint status report on November 2nd. Mr. Kennedy, you've heard Mr. Peterson acknowledge in basic part your what you've represented regarding the agreement, and on those with respect to the issues you've identified, and we'll see where we stand after November 2nd. But the court is here and very interested to keep this case moving along, which is why we wanted to have this conference this morning. So that you know that the court is interested and its offices are open to both to move this case along.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. And I hope you all stay safe and well. And we'll be looking forward to the November 2nd filing. Be well. Take care. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honor. You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.